Today's podcast is brought to you by Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, offering dog boarding, bathing, and daycare in an eco-friendly environment. Our pet care with a personal touch is not just a motto, it's really what we do. Our touch extends to the food without preservatives, quality and natural shampoos, inclusive boarding, and a green living environment. Sounds like I might want to check in. Visit us anytime on our Facebook page, Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, or MariahBellManorKennel.com. Enjoy your program. Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture, and all of the connections between. Today, as always, we have a fun and interesting guest, and you and I have a history, and it's a good one.
Yes.
Welcome. Could you introduce yourself and give us your name?
Good morning. I'm Sharon Moulton, and I work for DC Fire and EMS.
You have a huge job in DC, and I have to ask this question. We have a special guest who just sniffed because he was not introduced.
Yes, this is Brew. Brew is 3 years old, almost 3 years old, but yes, he does like to groan a little bit when he's bored. He's laying down right now. He's supposed to be napping, but he's interested in what's going on.
Well, he wants to be part of the interview.
He does.
He's a German Shepherd, and he's a working dog.
He is, yes.
This is not your first time with a working dog. This is your third one.
Yes, this is my third one. So I do have Levi still at home, and he's in semi-retirement because he'll be 10. So I do very short things with Levi and try to make them happier events for him because the dogs do take on a lot of stress over the years of doing this job. So I balance some of the nice, easy things for him to do. And then I have a female, Willow, who passed all her certifications, but I did not pass her myself because she was just a little bit too hypervigilant. And that is hard to work with when you're talking to people and completely have to focus on your dog all the time. As opposed to you and I haven't had to look at Brew very often because he's
hanging.
He is, yes. So that's what you want in a therapy dog, or we call them crisis intervention canines. Lots of different names for them, but that's what you want. So I have her as my pet at home now, and you do a lot of work with them, and then sometimes that's not their purpose.
How did you get involved with DC Fire and EMS? This is a second career for you.
It is. When I was trying to figure out what kind of occupation I wanted to do, I said I want to be a paramedic. And back then, that would have been in the 80s, you have to also do firefighting, which is very common now also. So I did all the certifications and applied to a fire department and got the notice I was accepted to the Toledo Fire Department in Ohio. But I had also met my husband, going to be husband, and had to decide between getting married and living in Florida and starting a family or the fire department. So I chose, even though I was already a paramedic and working at an urgent care center, that I would transition to stay-at-home mom and maybe pick it up later down the road. And that's what I did.
Life is always full of choices. And so many young people think, I have to do it all right now.
That is the one thing I would tell kids, and I've said to my own kids, is that you can change your occupation, what you want to do in life so many times. That's the best thing. But I do believe that you should have in your head that you can stand on your own 2 feet no matter what happens. So plan for that because you never know if you're going to be by yourself, if you're going to be married. You have to be able to take care of yourself. So
always.
That's important. And then even if it's not what you love to be doing in the moment, you can change that and then go ahead and do what you love down the road. That's my advice. See where the path takes you and learn from things that you may have said, why did I do that?
Absolutely. It never ends. You always get to change and move on and do different things.
Yes.
You married the guy that you found in Ohio.
Yes.
You started a family. You have your paramedic. You went to Florida. And then what happened?
And then I stayed at home with my kids. And as a stay-at-home mom, I wanted to keep my skills fresh and learn new skills. The ones that I did that served me the best, I ended up on a board of a pediatric foundation, a nonprofit foundation that learned how to do different kinds of lobbying for funds for children. I did that and got to travel from the various places I lived to the capital. So I learned how to do that in the nation's capital. How do you you lobby. And I did PTA president and then doing work with 4-H leadership roles, and each time teaching my kids to do that too.
Keeping and using the volunteer organizations that so much need the help and they need the expertise helped you not just survive those years, but thrive in those years. And stay-at-home mom is a full-time career, and put the growth opportunities through the volunteer organizations with it. Meaningful, very, very meaningful.
I was fortunate to stay home with my kids. We could afford it. So it was my way of giving back. We were in River Hill, which is Clarksville. So I did the Clarksville Middle School PTA president. And I was that when 9/11 hit. So that's when I knew I was ready to go back, because that was what I was doing. And I missed it. I was a part of that life before. And here I am, 39 at that time. And I'm like, can I do this? Can I go back and have a career and do that? I don't know.
Do you consider it going back, or do you consider it going forward to what you knew?
I always thought of it as going back to what I had really loved and done such a short period of time in my life. It was so brief that I knew I loved it, but I didn't know if I could actually take it to the age I was now and transition that love I had back then. And so it is, I guess, forward. I just didn't think of it as forward.
Did you make that transition?
Yes. I'm at 19 years now on the job, and I love the job just as much as I did when I was in the 80s.
So you are a captain at the DC Fire.
Yes.
What is that job? What do you do in that role? Which hat do you wear today?
Today, I am the peer support team canine handler, which is one of the roles I do. And then as an EMS captain, we run all the critical calls in the city. So that in itself is quite a job. It's never the same ever. I walk in the door and I'm like, what's going to happen today? Sometimes that's okay. And then other times you do get hit with some hard things. And as long as you, which is what we do with the behavioral health side of the team, if you can manage your behavioral health the healthy way, you can be more resilient and overcome those calls that are completely out of what we're usually used to.
So out of pure naivety from both myself and the listeners, I'm going to ask this question.
Sure.
As a peer support team, that's what your shirt says, peer support team, are you supporting the EMS? Are you supporting the folks who are having the emergency? And how does this work? Help me understand, because when I hear captain, I think you're telling folks where to go, when to be there, and what to wear.
Yeah, that's part of it. The behavioral health aspect is for everybody, because we work for the mayor and we work for the city. We're government employees. So if we have an event, let's say a house fire, that affects everybody. It affects our own, which we do primarily are there for our own. And I can be running the call myself, which then would mean somebody else on the team would step forward, because it wouldn't be in anyone's best interest to have me providing support when I ran the same critical call you did. So you kind of have to step away a little bit and know what role you're playing in the moment. So on a regular day, I have a call where you run the cardiac arrest. The way we do those, we have somebody that steps aside, kind of like you see in a TV show, that says your compressions are good. We need this equipment. We need you to do that. That's my role. And then also at the end of that, if the patient passes away, they're going to stay in the home with the family and the police. I have to give the death notification to the family. So I then become a different role as the crews are cleaning up. And depending on how traumatic that call is, you would think all of them are, but there are some that are things we're used to. One of the ones that's harder, of course, is a pediatric code. So if it's a pediatric code, after that, I then would not be part of the behavioral health peer support response that we do for some calls that are more difficult. The plane crash incident, a pediatric code, a house fire where there's lots of people or kids would be a different response if you're on it. But if you're peripherally not doing it, you can step away and help or be called in to do those.
Does each person on a team have all the basic training and they know how to run each call, but they have special individual talents and skills that they're already on site if those talents and skills are needed or called upon?
Yes. So we have a clinic clinician, and she's the behavioral health coordinator of our program. And then we have the canine team. And the canine team's approach is very different from, we call it a hot wash after an event. Sometimes you would have a canine, sometimes we don't have a canine, depending on what the event is or the request. So it's a certain crew, they're like, we're okay, but we do like a just general hot wash, which is telling people what the resources are, letting them know what to expect, what's normal, not normal. And if not, what do you do? We have a 24/7 peer support hotline, and that's the core of getting the help you need. It's just, we're a bridge to resources for the most part, and listeners, and people that, as peer means, I understand what you're feeling because I'm doing the same job you're doing, which is why sometimes you have to recuse yourself, because they're sitting here saying, you just did that call with me. How are you okay? And you're showing, you know what? I'm not. That was really hard. So we call in a couple other people instead, and I sit as the receiver of the information as if I had never done the training. That's what makes it successful.
Being able to give and receive keeps the balance. Are you trained to know when you need to give and when you need to receive? Or is that something that comes with a job?
There is training about it, but it's also, I feel like, knowing yourself. This is what we do teach. Very important, watching each other and your coworkers. So if they see me and say, that is not the way she acts, what is wrong? We are very good at that. I call it the tattletale line, because we have confidentiality. We take that very seriously, but it's a referral. Somebody will call and say, she's not doing very well. Sharon's not acting like herself. I just want you to check on her. So then the peer would call me and say, somebody called, and your first response is, who called and said something about me? And of course the answer is, we protect confidentiality. If you called and didn't want someone to know it was you, we wouldn't tell that either. And I know all that. So we do that very well. And we have a lot of referrals. People are very good at see something, say something. That person's not acting well. And we've taught that over the years and learned a lot over the years. You know, mistakes were made, behavioral health. There were stigmas in place before that aren't as bad anymore. So reaching out and asking for help is very well received now.
City departments, just by number of population, would see more things, but also probably different things than we might see in a more suburban or rural area.
Yes, very different.
Especially the DC area, given the number of ports and international influence. We'll be right back and continue this conversation. Join me, Raishan Mayer, from Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon.